Stephen Wright isn't the kind of comic you'd expect to be the life of the party. He's too cerebral and deadpan, but his low-key style gets big laughs. Wright's stand-up career took off in the 80s after an appearance on The Johnny Carson Show and guest shots on Saturday Night Live. He played the suburban dentist in the movie Desperately Seeking Susan. He co-wrote and starred in a short film called The Appointments of Dennis Jennings, and more recently he was a regular on Mad About You. I spoke with him in 1990, just before an HBO comedy special. Our interview began with an excerpt from the show.
Bought some land. It was kind of cheap. It was on somebody else's property. Bought an ant farm. I don't know where I'm going to get tracked. Is that small? I bought a cordless extension cord. It's like you don't even know. Yesterday I bought a decaffeinated coffee table. You can't even tell by looking at it.
Your HBO special is almost an hour long. Is that a really long amount of time for stand-up? In terms of putting it together.
Oh yeah, it took a lot of years to get that amount of time that worked. Because for every three jokes I write, only about one out of three is good enough to stay in the act. And they're all about 10 seconds long.
Yeah, so, that's the thing. Like, you don't tell long stories or anything.
No, it did. It took a long time.
Have you ever wished that you did things that went on a longer time than 10 seconds, so it would be easier to put together an hour?
Yes, I've wished that. And I've tried it sometimes, but it doesn't seem to work for me. I've gotten so used to doing it this way that I did it this way kind of by accident. I realized after a few years I was doing it like this, I realized the reason I did it like that was I didn't want to be standing there without the audience laughing.
This is where you get a laugh every 10 seconds.
Yeah, because it made me just too nervous to tell a long setup. You know, it was just... that silence was too uncomfortable.
So it sounds like even on stage you're pretty self-conscious?
Yeah, it's just, well, it's so extreme. It's a weird thing to do, to talk to that many people. So you have one, for one guy to be talking to that many people, I think it's nerve-wracking. Besides trying, not only are you talking to them, you're trying to make them laugh for an hour.
Were you in a complete panic the first few times you did this?
Oh, yes. It was horrible. It was unbelievable. I mean, there's still an anxiety there, but I'm as relaxed. I'm pretty relaxed. It's not going to get any more relaxed than I am now. But in the first times, it was just horrifying.
In 1989, you got an Academy Award for a short you co-wrote and starred in called The Appointments of Dennis Jennings, about a neurotic guy and his visit to his shrink. Did you enjoy making yourself into a character?
I think it was this character on stage, you know? It's like me exaggerated, and I just took him off the stage and put him into the movie. That's how I see it. I really made the character when I was making him for stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where he was really made. It was fun putting that guy into situations, you know. Now I stand-up is like I'm describing things to the audience that happened. And in the film, you just show it to the audience rather than describing it through a microphone.
So do you always go back like the character does and check to see if you lock the windows and turn the oven off?
I do some of that in real life.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do that.
Count me in, unfortunately.
What do you do it with?
Well, did I really lock the door? Did I really turn off the fan? Did I really close the windows? Did I really turn off the stove? Is the toaster oven off?
do you go back, though?
I go back.
Do you have a limit on how many times you go back?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've thought of making a list and keeping it on the door so I could check it off and I could just leave feeling really secure, saying, like, hey, I checked it all off. I don't have to think about this again. But for some reason, I've never made that list. So.
Yeah, but then you could get out on the street and go, oh, did I look at the list?
That's right. Oh. Well, you know what's frightening? when you've totally forgotten that you've done something, yet you have. You know, like when you just shut the window and you walk into the next room and say, gosh, did I shut that window?
Yes. I know, it's nuts.
Do you wonder, like, am I that lost in thought?
Do I live in New York? Yes, I live in New York.
Do I remember getting home tonight?
I admire people who don't have that.
Yeah, me too.
It's off. What do you mean? I know I shut it off. Let's go. I know, but I mean, maybe you shut it off yesterday and you're just thinking about yesterday.
When you have a really big gig coming up,
yes.
What kinds of things do you worry about? Do you worry about getting sick right before?
No, but now you...
Oh, I gave you something to worry about. I'm the right person to talk to for that.
No, that never enters my mind. I don't think I've ever missed a show because I was sick.
So what do you worry about that's going to go wrong and screw things up?
I mainly worry about if I can pace the show correctly and I can remember the entire act. That's the main concern. Because there's so much of it that I just want to be able to remember it all.
Do you ever forget?
Oh, yeah, every night.
So what do you do?
I go over and get some water, or I walk around, or I look up at the ceiling, you know, and I act a little strange, and they think that I'm just, they're not sure if I really forgot or I'm acting like I forgot.
Well, do you have it written down somewhere that you can check?
No. No.
So say it doesn't come back to you.
Well, it does. See, if I... 2 or 3 seconds, 5 seconds. That's a lot of silence
stage. On the radio, too.
But it usually comes to me.
I've read that you are afraid of planes, or were afraid of planes. Are you still?
Yeah, I don't particularly like it. When I go on a tour, I go on by bus. One of those tour buses, like a band.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's just me way in the back.
Well, you can stretch out and be comfortable.
Just sitting there, like cleaning my fingernails with a matchbook, waiting for the next city.
So you have a bus driver and everything?
Yeah, he's way, way, way in the front. I can take a mini. I take a mini bike from the back to the front. How much more? 200 more miles. Thanks, Eddie. And the routing is important. You know, you don't want to do like Seattle, Miami, Boston, San Diego on a bus, because that would a four city 5 month tour. So, but it's better. I like it.
Your character in the movie that you co-wrote, you know, it's about him and his shrink. Have you seen or do you see a psychologist?
I did when I was little. In case people don't know, the movie was about a guy who kills his own psychiatrist. I like telling that what it's about because that cracks me up. I saw a psychiatrist when I was little, when I was 7, 8, and 9. I went all the time. I was nervous about going into double digits because I knew most people die when they're in double digits. So the closer I got to it, I was just freaking out. That was mainly why I was going.
Was this the suggestion of parents or a teacher?
To go?
Yeah.
Yes. Both.
Were they really worried about you?
It was a group thing. It was a rally outside my house.
So
we'll contribute it.
Did you get along with the therapist?
Yeah, I did. He was a nice guy.
And did you lose your fear of dying when you turned into double digits?
No. I made the whole thing up. But I did see one when I was a kid, but it wasn't for that reason.
Do you want to say what the reason was?
No, it was just scared. I was just scared. You know?
Of everything?
Just nervous. Extremely introverted.
Well, it's not hard for me to believe that you were nervous and introverted.
No, still, you should have seen me then.
Stephen Wright, recorded in 1989.